Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Positive Education Podcast. My name is Ash Manuel, and I'm really excited to be joined today by Christine Finnegan. Now, Christine is CEO of the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, which is a NBL team or National Basketball League team here in Australia. And I really wanted to get Christine on because the Jack Jumpers are a really, really big organisation across the state of Tasmania. And I'm a massive advocate for how professional sporting organisations engage with the community, particularly in schools, and the impact they can have with mental well-being programs, whether that's resilience or healthy lifestyles like physical activity, eating, and the like. And I know the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers put a massive emphasis on it. So I really wanted to dive a little bit deeper into how the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers do that by speaking to Christine and a little bit about Christine. Christine has had a lot of experience. She's a CEO of the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, as I said, and she's one of the first female CEOs, particularly in the NBL. I know that there's Lisa, who's the CEO of the New Zealand Breakers. So she's definitely played the long game to get to where she is today, and she's had experience with over the last 25 years working at Tennis Australia, rugby union at the Brumbies and the Melbourne Rebels, also rugby league with the Melbourne Storm, the AFL Players Association. She also worked at St Kilda and had a little bit to do with the Commonwealth Games as well. And in 2020, she started the Jack Jumpers, and we'll get into her story a little bit today. But yeah, I'm really excited to have Christine on the podcast, and without further ado, we'll get started. Christine, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And I wanted to talk to you for quite some time about how professional sporting team, in this case, the Jack Jumpers, really engage with schools as a part of their community engagement, because I think it can have such a big impact, particularly when like you've got role models talking about how they perhaps use, I don't know, gratitude or resilience in their life. And I think like people who like teachers can talk about it, which is great. But if you've got those people talking about it, I guess it holds it to that next level. And I really want to talk about how the Jack Jumpers go about that. But beforehand, I just want to talk about you for a second. Now, I got a lot of admiration for you, Christine, being the CEO of the Jack Jumpers, and in your first year, they won the grand final. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey to how you actually got to the Jack Jumpers? Because it wasn't overnight. Like, it's been a 25-year process that you've been involved in sport. Can you just share with us your bit of about your background and your journey over the time leading up to the Jack Jumpers?
Yeah, thanks, Ash. And that's right. I've had 25 years in professional sport, and I started my career in professional sport at Tennis Australia, which really meant a lot to me because I grew up playing very competitive tennis and really enjoyed my time playing tennis, but sort of always wanted to be, running the tournament rather than playing in it. So getting a job at Tennis Australia really fulfilled a childhood ambition to get into professional sport and start learning about the administrative side of that. And from tennis, I then went on to work in rugby union for the rugby league, for the Melbourne Storm, AFL for St Kilda. I did a short stint at the Commonwealth Games, so and also a stint at the AFL Players Association. And all of those things led me to here, to Tasmania, and it happened that we were in heavy lockdown in Melbourne early 2020 through the I saw a job advertised for actually the CEO here at the Jack Jumpers, and I thought, what a wonderful opportunity to bring a professional sporting team to a state that really didn't have much to cheer for. And so I applied for that job, and I'm quite passionate about the state of Tasmania and what they should actually have and represent them on the national sporting stage. So I went through that process. I missed out on obviously the CEO role, which was awarded to Simon Brookhouse. But at the end of that process, I decided I was well on the journey to Tasmania. So took the role as Chief Commercial Officer, came here to build not only the commercial platform for the club, but also the brand platform. So what we do in our community, how we present ourselves, what our brand looks like, our mission and our values. So that was my role in the first 2 years. And then after Simon's departure, after 2 seasons, I got the opportunity to step up to the CEO plate. And what a wonderful journey that was, culminating in a championship, as you said, in my first year as CEO.
Absolutely. That's a It's a great journey, and and congratulations on that success as well. And it's one of these, I think it's just a great story of perseverance as well. Like 25 years and getting your CEO role after 25 years is pretty impressive, particularly like when it's a men's like competition as well. I'm pretty sure you're the only female CEO in the NBL, is that right?
No, Lisa Ed's are in New Zealand Breakers, so we've actually got 2 out of 10.
Oh,
But
I'm sorry.
we can
Sorry,
say
Lisa.
that I'm the only CEO in Australian NBL. So, but Lisa obviously runs the Breakers and does a very good job over there. And it is good to see more women featuring in senior positions, particularly
Absolutely.
CEO positions in sport, and something that I'm a big advocate for. And there's no doubt my runway has been longer and harder than I would suggest it has been for other men. And I've seen some very good men achieve great things, and I've seen some average men go past and get opportunities ahead of me. So I think for me, it has been a journey of perseverance, and one that I really wanted the opportunity to have a go at being a CEO. But I've had to go on a journey of self-reflection along the way and learn a lot about myself in that process, and perhaps what I was doing to contribute to not actually landing that big role. So Larry Kesselman's played a huge role in that as a mentor for me. Larry and I have very, very frank conversations about the way I go about my leadership and my style, and he certainly gives me great feedback into things that I need to develop and hone and all the rest of it. So that and being able to listen to him, to learn from him, and being able to accept his feedback in a really positive way meant that when the opportunity was available, he knew I was ready to take it.
Absolutely. And Larry Kesselman is the owner of the NBL. And at the time, he was the owner of the Jack Jumpers when they first came in as well. Is that right?
Correct. And he still is the owner of the Jack Jumpers. I mean, Larry's made it clear publicly that what he wants to do with expansion teams is he'll come in and let the NBL own those teams, get them started, but he'll take a quick exit out once those teams are established. And I think he would happily say that it's probably happened quicker than he thought here, that we've got ourselves into a really good situation both on and off the court, in terms of, obviously financial sustainability and viability. And so he now knows that he can exit and go and keep on his expansion journey for the NBL.
Absolutely. The NBL has gone from strength to strength. And I think, and particularly like following the NBL personally, like just seeing the Jack Jumpers succeed over the last few years, it's been so good. It must be, they're probably the biggest organisation in Tasmania, I'd suggest. And that just leads me, I guess, to what we really want to talk about today is how the Jack Jumpers go about their community engagement with schools in particular. Now, I know that. You personally, like you are very big on getting out in the community, particularly in schools and engaging with students. And how do the Jack Jumpers engage with schools across Tasmania? And I guess what inspired the team to prioritise the connection?
Well, I'm going to give you a big shout out here, Ash, because I actually met you in my very first month or two here at the Jack Jumpers,
2020.
and we were talking about growing with gratitude, and I looked at the model that you had and what you were taking into classrooms, and I'm very big on young people having the best opportunities they can in life, and there's no doubt in Tasmania there's education issues that, children are not finishing year 12 here. And we are all about at the Jack Jumpers trying to assist the government and the university and everybody else that really plays a role in better education outcomes for Tasmania. So there are 5 pillars to our business, 2 of which really centre around our community. One, of course, is to grow the game of basketball and make sure as many kids are playing the game of basketball to create great pipelines. And the other one is to engage our community and to bring warmth into our community. And one of the ways we have done that in recent years, in the last 2 years, has been to go into primary schools. So we've written a curriculum-based program. So it's already in the curriculum. All we've done is we've lifted that piece up. And we've put a Jack Jumpers slant on it. So teaching kids what they would ordinarily learn through a Jack Jumpers lens. And we do find that there is higher engagement from the children based on the fact that it's got that little fun element around it that the Jack Jumpers bring.
Absolutely. And as I said, I just think I've said it before. I just feel that when a professional organization goes into a school and delivers a program or curriculum with their branding on it, but also how like talk about how the players use these skills, I just think it can hold it to the next level. And it's so good to hear that the students are engaging with it. And if I could just ask, when you said that the The level, I guess the percentage of students who don't finish school, is there a reason why that's so or reasonably high in Tasmania, do you think? Is there a
Yeah,
reason?
there is. Look, there's a number of different lenses on why kids don't go, on to year 12 here. And I think traditionally, there's a lot of the high schools finish at year 10, and then you go into what they call the college system here in year 11 and 12. But there's a lot of things that happen at the end of year 10 here that kind of make kids think, well, I'm potentially at the end of my journey. They have leavers dinners and they have other things that maybe kids think, well, this is my time to exit stage left. And I think what the government and everyone else is trying to do is really say to these kids, no, this is just the beginning of the next phase of your journey, which is your senior schooling, year 11 and 12, and trying to keep kids making sure that they're finishing year 12 and then going on to university, etc. So there's definitely been challenges, and I'm sure the numbers are nowhere near what the government would like to see them at, and certainly what the university is investing a lot into this space to try and encourage children to go on and have tertiary education. So whatever role we as the Jack Jumpers can play in that, we think is super important. And obviously, we already do a lot of work in our community through basketball, but this one is actually about really engaging in the classroom. And so this curriculum-based program comes with both student and teacher resources that we send out to the schools. And really, our aim in the first semester when we did this was to get into 50 classrooms across the state. And I think after the first semester, we'd been in 126 classrooms across the state. So there was a real want from the schools to engage with the program. So based on that, we've decided that this year we'll also go into high schools. So
Brilliant.
we're very, very fortunate that our captain, Clint Steindl, is a secondary educator, and also his wife, Kayla. So they have got together, they've picked up the high school curriculum for year 7 and 8 students, and they've now designed a program that we'll take into schools, into high schools as well. And as I said, that feeds into what I said earlier about trying to create better education outcomes for young Tasmanian children.
Absolutely. And that's so good to hear that it's going to expand into high school as well. And that's pretty cool that like Clint Steiner, like the captain and player and his wife as well have been able to actually contribute to that. That's actually fantastic. And yes, hopefully they'll just like the primary schools, I'm sure that'll be an extremely popular program that will roll out across Tassie as well. And just on the programs, I guess because the primary school one's existing, so you've got the resources that the teachers receive and also student ones. So what's the program focus on? Is it a resilience-based program or what's the
Absolutely. So
focus?
it's in the health and physical education stream, and we talk about, we definitely talk about resilience, we talk about diversity and the importance of diversity. We talk about the importance of self-awareness, and understanding who you are and how you fit in. And then of course the big thing that sport can bring to any table is the leadership side of things. So what does a good leader look like? How do I go about my everyday as a leader? Like, what does that look like in the classroom? What does that look like in the playground? What does that look like when I go home? So, this program is also designed with conversation cards that the kids can then take home and have conversations with their parents around the dinner table about what they've learned in the classroom. So it takes the conversation just that one step forward and engages families into it.
Yeah, that's so good. I think that's, yeah, when families and the school that what they're doing in class are on the same page and having those cards that like great conversation starter and I'm still guilty of it. Like if I catch up with my mum and we have a coffee or go there for dinner and like we have a conversation, it will just be, how was your day? And I'll just respond, good. And I'll still do it.
Oh, my son's now 21, but I persevered all through his schooling years. How was your day, Ben? Yes, it was good. What did you learn today? Not much. So, thankfully he's made his way through to university. But at some stage I was really wondering what he was actually learning because we were never exchanging those conversations. And something that really stuck with me is that, parents are really keen to know what the kids' day looked like. And for us, when we designed this program, that was a really key part of it, was like, how do we then take this home so the parents can understand what their children are learning, but also the role that Jack Jumpers are playing into that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And you're right. I think and when the students take that home, it's a Jack Jumpers branded thing. Like that'll encourage the parents to get involved as well because it's such a big brand over in like Tasmania that it for the parents as well. That's it's a great thing to be involved in. And so I'm always like interested to find out, as I said before, how professional organisations go into schools and deliver these programs. So, with the curriculum, is that like an online program, or is it a pack of resources that the teachers teach? How's it presented?
Yeah, so it was written by Claire Shivers, who's a second primary school educator here, and she's actually a classroom teacher. So through her association with the club, we sat down with her and said, "What does this look like?" And I must say, for the first iteration of this, it's been a pack of resources that we've sent out. So it's been teacher written resources and children written resources. What we are going to morph into from next year will be online resources, because we know that's the way the classrooms are going. But certainly, to get it up in year one and in the first 2 years, we did it with written resources, and we did it. We partnered with Kewin, who are salmon big industry here in Tasmania, and they have been able to partner with us and also give the education about the healthy food and eating well and the omega-3. So we've really tied that into the school program, and with their support, we've been able to get all around the state, which has been really important because, as I said before, we're a vast state. We are headquartered in Hobart, but we can travel 4.5 hours to Strawn and to all the schools on the West Coast, and they take a lot for us to get there. So to be able to run these programs with the Jack Jumpers behind it, but not have to actually physically be there all the time, has been a huge bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, I mean, it's just not sustainable, or it's not possible for actually to get into those classrooms right across the state from the actual presenter point of view. And how do the players play a role? Are they involved in, like, I don't know, their faces in the program or on videos?
Yeah.
The players
So
involved?
the way we structure the program is that the schools that engage with us go to the top of the queue in terms of clinics. So they're given clinics and
Brilliant.
other things and access to players. So if you want to do the school curriculum-based program, then you're at the top of the class then to get school visits and all the rest of it from our players. So we definitely don't go to every classroom that engages with it, but how we get into the classroom is via our players upfront through a video message that whether it'll be Jordan or Clint or someone talking about one of the elements that they're learning. So today we're talking about diversity, and they'll give their view on diversity. So that'll be beamed into the classroom, and then they'll start the curriculum with that. And then a lot of the schools that will then finish with either a clinic or and our mascot or a player coming through to visit. So we time that, we schedule that pretty well across the state. So we know when our players are up north in pre-season that we're going to include so many schools in that period and that visit. So yeah, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that goes into making sure that we have those player touch points, but predominantly it is through video screen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great way to do it, to reach more people as well. And I know that I'm just following through social media, the Jacksons do a lot of clinics, which is fantastic. So they get out into the community, whether that's in schools or or in school holidays, and run these big clinics. And I guess that's just another touch point to engage the community. But I guess for me, I feel that we should promote physical activity. Doesn't matter if it's through a sport like basketball or going to a gym or walking, whatever it is, but as a way of improving our mental well-being. Because for me, I exercise not just for the physical benefits, that's okay, but for my mental well-being. Because I reckon that the 100% the reason why I exercise is for that reason, is just to make you, it does make you feel good. And there's a lot of research around it as well. So I think that's such
100%.
a powerful thing that the club does also go out to do a lot of clinics in the community, like to, yes, practice basketball skills, but also make people feel good as well, which is really important.
Oh, look, and there's no doubt exactly what you said. There is a link between physical activity and mental well-being. And like yourself, I do that every day because I need to have that outlet and just to make sure that I'm feeling balanced in my day. So the amount of clinics we do across the state is very much designed right from beginner right through to academy type clinics, and that's really engaged to just get kids moving and really, you know, embracing physical activity, and that's super important to us. So yes, we do a lot of that. We've recently introduced, we have a jump squad at our game, just a dance squad of young boys and girls, and we've now introduced jump squad clinics into our offerings. So we do dance clinics and for boys and girls across the state as well, and they've been oversubscribe. So kids just want to get involved and do things. And I think if we can structure the program for it and make it easy for mum and dad to drop them off and leave them in a place where we know they're going to have fun and move around and feel good about themselves at the end of it, then, you know, we'll put our hand up every day to be part of that.
Absolutely. And I think, like, as you say, you've got people lining up to be involved. And but if somebody, like, just any old, I don't want to sound rude here or anything like that, but if, like, me, for example, set up some kind of, I don't know, clinic thing on the side of the road, and like, I wouldn't get anyone coming. But because the Jack Jumpers have created it, it's that using that power that the club does have for good. And that's what I love how the Jack Jumpers are really big on this. And I think, I know that some clubs do it really well, like across different sports, but I just feel that professional organisations can play such a massive role, whether that's through physical well-being or the resilience side of things out in the community. And I really do admire how the Jack Jumpers have done it. And I know you've had a lot to do with that, Christine.
Okay. So there's an interesting, the NBL have obviously put a lot into the community space in recent years, and they've been saying that over the years that kids used to turn up to clinics across Australia in NBA jerseys, and more and more they're finding they're turning up in their NBL jerseys. And I can say that kids that attend our clinics are 99% in Jack Jumpers jerseys. So you barely see an NBA jersey on our kids here. So they're either in a T-shirt or a jersey or something Jack Jumpers. And you do see that just walking the streets here, is that people are really connected to the Jack Jumpers. They love the merchandise, and, you know, the cars have all got the stickers on it. There's something about, you know, the Jack Jumpers and the way it's galvanised the state. That's really, really incredibly special. And it's something that's not lost on me, or I ever take for granted when I see it.
Absolutely. Actually, once you think about it, like when you do watch a particular home, or actually from those clinics as well that I've seen on social media, you're right. Like, now that you think about it, they definitely, nearly everyone's in a Jack Jumpers top, which is great. But also, like, at games, like, half the crowd's wearing a singlet.
I'd go three quarters.
Three quarters, yeah.
Even more.
Yeah.
You know, NBL, we've got a lot of special rounds, and in fact, we have one coming up, a teal round, where we really focus in on gynecological outcomes for women in Tasmania through ovarian cancer. And, you know, so we bring out jerseys for those kind of things, and they're so well supported. And generally, you know, we sell out of our immature lines, just, you know, the one-off lines that we bring out, then, you know, we generally sell out of them. So people just love it. They just have really gravitated towards it and really like it. So just really proud to be able to put the show on for them, I guess.
Absolutely. And been based in LA, I went to a 36ers game early January, and I haven't been for a game for years, but it is a show. The entertainment at an NBL game is amazing.
The 36ers are killing it. Like, you know, they are killing it. They're playing to full, you know, full arenas. They're doing a great job. They've been competitive. You know, and I didn't get there this season, but I've heard that they just go from strength to strength in terms of their crowd, their entertainment and all the rest of it. So, you know, it's pretty competitive in that arena. We all like to be considered the best arena for entertainment, noise, and, you know, I'm still going to say that we're probably winning that race at the moment, because I tell you what, you've got a stadium full of parochial Tasmanians that are just screaming for the Jackies.
Absolutely. And just going back to the schools, Christine, with like challenges and opportunities. So what are some of the challenges that face working in schools? Like, is it pretty much where schools will come to you and will 100% be involved? Or is there challenges that to still get, I'm trying to ask this question a good way, but is there challenges that come up from getting to school still? And how do you go about sort of expanding and innovating ideas and efforts now? You probably answered this before a little bit in the high school, like moving to high school. But what are some of those challenges that do come up?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. When we first launched this program, awareness was always going to be the factor for us. So creating awareness around the program, and we did that a number of ways. We contacted schools that we had existing relationships with that we'd already run clinics through in our earlier years. There was many ways that we went about that, but as the proof is in the pudding. So it was actually piloting it, getting some really good feedback from the eight schools we piloted it in, understanding what worked and what didn't, tweaking the program, and then really doing a big launch about it. So Tassie's one of those states that you don't get away with too much without word of mouth taking off. So once we'd done that, probably in the first 10 or so classrooms, the opportunities start coming to us rather than us having to go out and fish for them. So we do have schools contacting us all the time as to how they contact, how they can be part of the program. I think the important thing is when you talk about challenges is making sure that we're not just giving you a set of resources and that's done and dusted. For us, it's about following up with the teacher, following up with the school, getting a surveying levels of engagement and getting that feedback all along the way and then tweaking it and understanding what that looks like moving forward. So we certainly do that. We certainly contact our schools and really act on the feedback we get. And and that's proved that it's been quite positive in the sense that we have made changes along the way. And I think that's been well received by the schools. So we're not just saying, here's your resources, now you go do it. We don't want to see you again. So it's that follow-up piece is super important.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on. And that's personally working in schools myself, growing with graduate at schools, I actually need to get better at that because you do see quite a few schools and you want to make it, I guess, really easy for teachers to use, but also engage the students as well. So one of the things that I think is so important to get that feedback from the teachers, but also the kids, if they're engaged in the activities. And I have done it previously, it's been so valuable, but I think I need to personally revisit that. But that's great to hear that you're doing.
And I find kids are actually very good at giving feedback. Kids will tell you what they actually think. So, listening to them, they're obviously our target market. They're the ones that we want to impact. They're the ones that we want to have a long-term effect on. So, really making sure we're listening to the voice of our young people is really important, and we do that.
Absolutely. Now, just got probably one more question, Christine, just for yourself, really, I gather that your role can be very stressful and busy and a lot happening in a day, across the year. How do you handle, I know that you mentioned before you do daily physical activity, but what are some of those, I guess, skills that you use if you are having a bit of a challenging time? Because I reckon that there would be huge challenging times in your role.
Look, there's no doubt that the role of CEO is a huge role, and every day you're managing a numerous amount of internal stakeholders and external mm-hmm. stakeholders, as well as negotiating stadium agreements, government agreements, and a number of other things, and you've got plenty of masters that you're reporting as well. So it is cool, and there are times and that can feel very, very overwhelming. And especially in a small state like this where the spotlight, is on the team. So, people are very interested in what we do all the time. So for me, part of my mental well-being is really reaching out to the people that I know I can count on. And that's not necessarily people internally here. It's more that group of people. And I talk about this a lot. I've got a personal board table and a professional board table, and they are made up of the people that know me best, that know my personality away from work, but also some of them have obviously worked with me too and know my style and know what works for me and what doesn't. So that table is designed to give me feedback and to help me get better. And I mentioned it earlier, and I mentioned it again, that Larry has actually played a huge role in that for me. So leaning into the people around you that have probably got more experience than yourself, or really being able to ask for advice and help when you need it. Because I don't have all the answers. I certainly don't. I mean, I don't come from a basketball background. So, for me, it's been a big baptism of fire coming in and really learning the landscape of the NBL and basketball more generally. But, I'd have to say one of my biggest supporters in this role is Scott Roth, our coach, and he really respects me in this role. We lean into each other. We help each other. We're both quite similar people. We're emotional people. We care a lot about the day-to-day, but we both care a lot about the club. So we can have really honest discussions about where we think things are at. And if I'm having a bad day, which, they do come around,
yeah,
he's one of the first people, if I'm going to lean internally, I'll call. For a bit of a chat. So, you know, it's really important that you have relationships. And I talk about this a lot. And I think probably more prevalent women are probably into it a bit more is vulnerability and acknowledging that you do have bad days and you have challenging days and being okay with that and really being able to deal with that and not having this facade all the time that, you know, you're on top of everything and that life is always perfect because it's not.
Exactly. 100%. And I think what I sort of took out of that is that having those connections. So building those connections with people who you can rely on that you can just, I guess, talk to. Like it's such a powerful thing. And connection is one of those things that research tells us can improve our mood. So having those people around us is so important. And also you mentioned Scott Roth there, the coach. Now I've heard you say this before, like on a podcast. So I don't think this is like this, it's out in the public. Like, am I right in saying that you didn't get along straight away?
Is that correct? I think the thing that has made us great now is the thing that didn't make us work in the beginning is that we're both emotional people and we both wanted the same thing. And I think we were both in a bit of a hurry for it. And probably in the beginning, I thought I knew everything about building a club and he probably had his idea of building how he wanted to build a club. Mm. And instead of like leaning into that and going, okay, well, what's your opinion? What's mine? We started to really push and pull against each other. And that resulted in us not having, you know, a fantastic relationship in year one where we really, you know, when I reflect back, really could have been a much bigger support to each other. Both of us had moved here through hotel quarantine. Both of us were living away from our family. Both of us had one child and we're missing that child incredibly. So it was a missed opportunity for us, but I can say that we really made up for that in later years. And the way we did that was by having, you know, a really adult conversation about why things weren't working in our relationship and what we needed to fix. But underlying all of that, what we both worked out when we had that conversation is that we had enormous respect for each other. And I think that respect, once we learned that we had that respect, it was then about building on trust. And Scott is someone that can only operate on trust. You know, it's an environment that professional sporting world is not an environment that you trust easily. So I guess with Scott, for me, it was about proving that I was a person he could trust and a person he could rely on. And once we got through that little barrier, we really hummed along. And I guess the championship was a result of that. That was, you know, absolutely a result of us and obviously our board, Karen Nyland and Steve Old, particularly at the helm of that. So lots of diversity in the club, you know, and working with that and working with different opinions and different ways of going about things. And rather than pulling against it, actually working out what each of us was bringing to the table and valuing it individually.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a like important skill. And like that's things that come to mind. There's like empathy and self-awareness, but also awareness of others. And it like, I just can't imagine how I really admire like someone like yourself who's a CEO who's got all these different personalities and people that you deal with, and you just got to have empathy for each other. It might not always be easy, and even some CEOs might not have it, but it's just such an important skill. And I think like yourself, you probably thrived in that situation after you worked through those issues or whatever it might have been. And yeah, come out the other side because you've probably got those skills and developing those skills, and it's it's such a wonderful thing.
I think it's human nature for us all to want to be liked, but it's also to be able to be comfortable in the fact that when things aren't working, to be able to self-reflect and go, okay, what role am I playing in this relationship really not humming? And really being able to own my own, what I could control in that relationship and really working on that. And I think that that's really important is to understand that none of us are perfect. And it's taken me years and years and years to work out that not everyone's going to like me, not everyone's going to agree with me, but that's okay. And leaning into that and making sure that I still turn up as my best self and I'm still learning every day is really important. So that self-reflection piece for me is huge.
Absolutely. Now, I really appreciate the time today, Christine, and the insights you've shared and sharing in particular what Jack Jumpers are doing in schools and the impact that's having across Tassie and using, I guess, the power of the organisation in such a positive way to influence young people in the state. So well done on that. And thank you for sharing also how you deal with, I guess, or the stress or the challenges that come up in your role through having those connections and through physical activity. So I really appreciate your time and sharing with us all those things today.
No problem, Ash. And we've learned a lot from you, from growing with gratitude about just really, really going back to basics and really learning what's important in life. And gratitude sits at the helm of that. So thank you to you for all we've learned off you too.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you,
Okay.
Christine.
Thanks, Ash.
Bye.
Bye.